How you doing out there? You ever seem to have one of those days where it just seems like everybody's getting on your case, from your teacher all the way down to your best girlfriend? Well, you know, I used to have them just about all the time, but I found a way to get out of it. Let me tell you about it.
Listeners, it's the Capital District Democratic Socialist Good Time Hour. You're listening to us on WGXC ACRA 90.7 on your FM dial, and the show broadcasts at 7 p.m. on the first Tuesday of every month. I'm one of your hosts, Casey, here with Poche Noir, my overcompensating co-host, who is otherwise known as Bill. Today, May Day, is Teacher Appreciation Day. So our special guest is Natalia Laktakia, a candidate to be re-elected to the Saratoga Springs School Board. So, in compliance with FCC rules, we invite any competing candidate to express themselves on WGXC.
Teachers, what a bunch of squares. When I see a teacher, I tell him, get lost, daddy-o, you're sitting on my hot plate. School, the Blackboard Jungle. I'm trying to channel Vic Morrow from the Blackboard Jungle, which is a film that even predates my birth.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought you were doing West Side Story.
Could be. You know, Memphis the Krupke.
Yeah. They probably don't like teachers either.
No.
When you have a jet.
Teachers, well, going to school is the place where you learn not only about just about everything. And you learn about authority. You learn about power. You also learn about that in your family. Mm-hmm. But you also learn how to transgress. You learn all about transgression and how to get away with it in school.
So true.
And you learn how to enjoy it.
Yeah, but I was a little nerd. I was not.
You were a good student.
I was a good student up until 11th grade, I think. And then I started smoking pot.
Okay.
And then became less of a good student. Not because of the pot. No, I mean, because I thought I was cool. Those
still
were
cool.
Thank you.
That's right.
I was a solid B student, though, I tell you what.
Oh, okay.
For lack of trying.
I understand. I went up and down in that, too.
Yeah.
I went to Catholic school, so there were so many rules to get in trouble with. It was a rule paradise if you like to transgress. So that was terrific.
I feel like Catholic school was also like encouraged it in a way because they discouraged all things and in a roundabout way encouraged you to be transgressive. No.
Yeah. Transgressive. Of course.
Yeah. You know. Whereas I was a public school kid and my teachers were actually all mostly great. So I got written up once.
What'd you get written up for?
I was on the tennis team and this was 10th grade and all of the other people on the team were in 11th and 12th grade and we were buying a gift for Mr. Gray, mm-hmm. who was retiring and who was our coach. And they were like, just come to the dollar store, wherever we were going to like buy this gift. And I just left school without being like written out. And then I came back and they caught me immediately. And then I spent my detention with the principal, Mr. Laster, who was super cool. And we listened to Eric Clapton.
Okay.
And he was like, probably shouldn't do that. And I said, okay.
Well, I went to the Monsignor's office many times.
That tracks.
You know, but anyway. But it was fun.
What a bunch of squares, indeed.
That's right.
Oh, what is today?
It is also, according to the custom of the show, May 6th is the 17th day of the month of Floreal in the year 233 of the French Republican calendar. And this day is represented by the pimpernel, which in English is the herb named salad burnet. It's kind of a spicy herb. I don't know.
I've never had it, yeah.
I don't know if I've ever had it.
Does it grow in the U.S.?
It does.
Interesting.
It's also an ornamental plant.
Ah, well.
So I looked it up.
Fascinating. Well, neat. Moving on. Here's our standard disclaimer. Remarks made tonight reflect the opinions of whomever may be speaking them and not of WGXC. Also, these remarks need not reflect the opinions of anyone else in the Democratic Socialists of America. It's just Bochnoir and I speaking our respective minds. And we too may not even agree. If you disagree or want to qualify anything said on the show tonight, then you might consider joining the DSA to make your thoughts known.
Yep, there's no line to be towed by members of the DSA. We all just want a fairer, freer society. To be a DSA member, you do not have to be a strict Marxist like me.
Ooh.
All right, all you need to do is go to dsausa.org or to Capital District DSA, all one word, .org. But full disclosure, this show is a
shameless attempt at recruiting people to the DSA. If that's your thing,
okay.
We're not here to push you in any direction.
All right.
Stick it to the man.
Tired of the system. Stick it to the man.
Rise. All right. And we have a special guest tonight who's appearing remotely with us, Natalia Latakia, who is a candidate to be elected to the Saratoga Springs School Board. Good evening, Natalia.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm very, very well. Before we get into the meat of this interview, as an icebreaker, I would like to ask your thoughts about the recent trip into space by Katy Perry. And if you can avoid the word appalling, that would be appreciated.
I will say that I am a professional Katy Perry hater, and so this was just one more thing to find atrocious about her.
Okay. I found that the spacecraft, though it was a feminist thing, supposedly, it was hugely phallic.
It really was. Yes, I agree with that. And I also will say that to me, feminism isn't just when women do things, which is what seems to have happened here.
Right. So describe to us your campaign, please.
Sure. So this is my third time running for the Saratoga Springs School Board. And I've won the last two times. So once in 2019 and once in 2022. I guess, excited and also tired to be running again, but I think that public education is foundational to our democracy. And I think it's really important to have people who work in public education on public school boards, and also people who value each and every child in the present and not just for what they could be in the future, to be on our school boards. And that's me. And so I'm sticking with it.
I really like that formulation. Could you go into that a little bit more about the children in the present and what their, I guess, potential is?
Yeah, in 2019, I went to the DSA convention in Atlanta and I met Cecily Meyer Cruz, who shortly after that was elected to be the president of the Los Angeles School District Teachers Union. And that was something that she talked about that really, really resonated with me and has really helped shape my worldview over the past, I guess, almost 6 years. And that is that children are oftentimes identified as being the future, and that we think of their potential for what they could be as adults. But children have value right now. You don't have to labor in our society to have value. Your existence has value. And I really love children. I've been a public school worker my whole career. And I think that children are creative and their existence is valuable and needs to be honored, and they need to be respected as who they are right now. So, yeah, I guess I found a lot of value in her reframing that idea that children aren't just the future, they are the present.
That's really cool.
I love
And just so you met her at the DSA convention, and you've run as an open Democratic Socialist in all three elections.
Yep, that's right. I'm really open with who I am. And I think that while a lot of people, although less than before, will maybe balk at the term socialist or even the term democratic socialist, the ideas that we hold when it comes to education are really, really popular. And so wanting things like universal meals, wanting for schools to be restorative when it comes to discipline, not punitive, wanting every kid to be able to access an education, things like that are very, I mean, valuing kids not just for their labor, their future labor. I think that those things are really, really popular. And I actually will say that in 2019, I got third place. In 2022, I got second place with a very, it was the same three people who won those 2 years. But I think that my viewpoint and the way that I share it grew in popularity. And I'm hoping to see more of that this year because I really think that the socialist approach to education is popular as long as you don't label it as socialist for everybody.
So, you made me mindful of not too long ago, I learned of a resolution that the school board was considering passing that involved a tolerance for children of, to use the rainbow flag of every stripe. Could you describe that, please?
Yeah, sure. So that's
You
something
know
that
what
I
I'm
really,
talking about.
Yes, I do.
That was a great resolution.
Thank you. That's something that I co-authored with two other board members that I have a lot of pride about, I guess. One thing that I know from working in the schools and from having my friend group be a lot of people who work in schools is that people are really scared right now. Children are scared. I've had conversations with my students, just, listening to their fears. But also, teachers need to know that their school boards have their backs. And so, following those conversations and talking with two of my colleagues, we decided to write a resolution that didn't really make any new decisions, but instead affirmed our commitment to certain things. And so, living in New York, I do think that we are really lucky to already have a lot of things established. There's a lot of safety for trans students in New York State. There is a lot of safety for immigrant students in New York State, although I guess less than I would like. And New York State is also standing in defiance of the Trump executive orders and is saying, nope, we're going to continue to do our, work towards diversity, equity, and inclusion in the schools. And so this was kind of our opportunity to take all of what we know as people who are engaging in education every day and put it into simple language to propose it so that our community could know that their school board has their back. And so the resolution kind of went through, I guess, four different things. One was, I'm going to pull it up actually. But one was in support of trans students. So trans students are under particular attack right now. And I think that that's people, a lot of people are aware of that. John Oliver just did a segment about it. And I just think that it's such a small group of children who are being so horrendously attacked and being mislabeled and being treated as if they are doing something that they are not. And so we really wanted to make it clear that trans students are going to be welcomed and affirmed in our district. That is something that has been very clear to me my entire time on the board, is that protecting trans students is important to the members who, of or to the district, I'll say. The next thing was affirming immigrant students. As we saw that there was a push to have ICE be able to enter schools to take children, we really wanted it clear that we don't allow that in our school district.
Let's put that into active language. Who was doing that pushing to get ICE into schools?
The Trump administration.
Okay.
And so we had already gotten our superintendent, or I should say our superintendent had already made a really good statement, so we just affirmed it. We just wanted to make sure that it was clear that it's not just from the superintendent, but that the board stands behind that statement as well. The next thing is about DEI policies. I mean, the Trump administration is going so hard after DEI that they have like a DEI hotline where you can report districts for doing DEI, whatever that means.
It's
And I'll
like
say,
taking lessons from East Germany and the Stasi, having
it's,
children report their parents, and it's crazy.
it really is so ridiculous. And I just think, like, I work in special education specifically. If we want to talk about DEI, we can just look at special education. So we know that there is a diversity of, I guess, abilities across the student body. We know that equity is that special education is meant to meet students' needs. So if one student needs a pair of glasses, you don't give every kid a pair of glasses. You give the children what they specifically need. If one child needs to be seated closer to the instruction, you don't try to put every single kid at the same desk. You meet kids' needs so that they can access their education. And then inclusion, I think that Saratoga Springs has done a really beautiful job of that with switching to a co-teaching model for a lot of elementary school. And my son has been so lucky to be able to be in the co-taught classrooms. So that's where special education, instead of being a pull-out service where those kids are being taken from the classroom to another classroom to do their learning separately, instead, learning is evolving to make sure that it's differentiated within the room with multiple teachers who can meet kids' needs. And so we affirmed that, and then we just affirmed our support for each and every student. I think that like I guess I struggle to put this into words, but our state has made it really clear that the dignity of each and every student is essential. We actually have an entire law around that, which is the Dignity for All Students Act. And so students deserve to be protected and have their dignity protected at school. And so we just were really clear that we're going to be rejecting anything that is intolerant or bigoted or anything that is really undermining students' rights to a free and fair education.
Did you get a lot of pushback? I mean, we know that you got some pushback online from people who weren't from the area, but did you also experience that within Saratoga Springs?
Yeah, so that's actually something that I tracked because I was really curious to see, like, where does my community fall? Because when I talk to anybody that I talk to, the things that I just outlined are things that they agree with. And I think that I have a pretty decent network. But maybe I'm wrong. Like maybe I'm just in an echo chamber. And so I tracked any sort of contact that we got in terms of emails to the Board of Education, public comments at multiple meetings. And then also we got a couple handwritten letters or hand typed letters that were mailed in to us. And then I went through to see where people actually reside. Are they in our district? Are they in New York State, but not in our district? Or are they not even in New York State? And what I found was that if you look at our district, 80% of the people who contacted us were in full support of the resolution, no notes. Of the people who were against the resolution, almost all of them were specifically focused on the section about transgender students. So I guess going back to the fact that there's such a small group of transgender students in the United States, and yet they are the recipients of such vitriol and such like targeted attacks. It's really, I think, so shameful. But part of the resolution we wrote, we affirm the 2018 DASA amendment. So again, DASA is the Dignity for All Students Act. And will respect students' chosen names and pronouns. We will ensure their right to use facilities and participate in activities and sports consistent with their gender identity. So that truly is us just affirming that because it is already the law in New York State. And if you work in a school, you know that. You know that you have to respect what students tell you about themselves. And also, I guess you know when you work with students that if you don't respect what students tell you about themselves, that is causing direct harm to that child. And I don't know any educators who want to be harming children. And so there was this big pushback that was kind of focused on the idea that we as a school board were in defiance of Title IX and we're trying to harm girls by letting trans girls play sports with them. And there's a lot more hateful language that gets used in that regard. So, for example, referring to trans girls as biological males is something that I keep seeing. And I really feel so uncomfortable when people say that because I guess I wouldn't refer to myself as a biological female. Why would I refer to another human like that? It just feels very dehumanizing. So we did get some pushback. Again, about 20% of the contact that we got from our district was against the resolution, focused solely on that part. And then what ended up happening was a group of people contacted the Riley Gaines organization. And so Riley Gaines was a college swimmer who, in a single race, tied for fifth place against a trans woman and has now made that situation her entire identity and is making a lot of money off of it, has been up on stage with Donald Trump to talk about the horrors of having to be around other people who are trans.
What a
And
grift. Oh my gosh.
what a grift.
Wait. She got fifth place?
He tied for fifth place. So I'm not a sports person, but I have verified that had the trans athlete not participated in that race, she would have still gotten fifth place. And I've also, I am a math person, and five is not the same thing as one, two, or three.
It's not the same as win, place, or show to keep it in Saratoga terms.
And so, yep, so we had somebody from that organization come to talk at the last board meeting, and to kind of push for us to change our minds. The thing is this, what Trump has done is to say that if we continue with DEI, quote unquote, DEI, that they will cut our federal funding. So Saratoga Springs is just really in a very particular position with that because we just don't get that much federal funding. So with about $150 million budget, we get about $3 million from the federal government. We get 10 times that from the state. And so we are required to follow state laws. And so if we were to not follow the state law, I guess we would be at risk of losing $30 million, which is a very different amount of money compared to federal dollars. But also, our federal dollars are almost all given to us through, I guess, programs that would need congressional approval to pull the funds. So, like IDEA, which is money for special education, or Title I. I think also Titles II, III, and IV cover the balance of that money. And so we're just really, I'm not saying that we're not at any risk for losing that money, but what I am saying is that if we were to lose that money, it wouldn't be because we passed this resolution.
Well, you passed it.
We
So,
passed it, yes.
heck yeah.
So there are 9 members on the Saratoga Springs School Board, and we passed it with a vote of 7-1. So 1 member voted no, and 1 member abstained.
And you are running as a slate of three. Correct.
Yes and no. I mean, the way that the election works is you're running for yourself. So it's, Natalia Latakia has one box on the ballot that you can check. And then I am supporting two other really wonderful candidates. One thing that I've learned over time is that the community just wants to know who to vote for. And so rather than printing many different door hangers and many different palm cards, we've decided, we all support each other. We are a slate of three educators. We're just going to put our literature together. So in the past, I've done separate literature, separate signs, separate everything. And this year we just said, I don't think that's not what we're going to do. We're just going to combine it because we are three educators who support each other. Things are more expensive than they were before.
Yeah, in this economy, you gotta
Yes,
go.
exactly. So, yeah, so I'm supporting a special education teacher and a professor at Skidmore who are both really wonderful.
Other than that, what are the differences between your prior elections and this one, given the new political landscape? How has it
Well,
changed your election?
yeah, I will say we have a lot more volunteers this time early on. I've had a lot of volunteers in the past who I've been really, really grateful for. I think it's really amazing to see how much work can be done when we all do a little bit. But this year, we have a lot of people who are like, what can I do? We have to protect the schools. Like, what can I do? We have to make sure that students in the school have a school board that backs them. What can we do? We don't want a school board member who's going to undermine the teachers or treat them like they're not experts in their fields. And so that has been really, I guess, good to know that my community is activated and recognizes that we need to make sure that our schools have a board that supports the teachers and doesn't work against them. I really think that to be on a school board, you need to be on the side of the schools. You can't run for school board and be a good school board member if you think poorly of the teachers or the schools. You can always think that there's room for improvement. And I think there's room for improvement in all of our systems, but I don't think that you can be against the schools and be a good school board member.
And did your running, I don't remember the timeline of this, but I know that DSA passed a resolution encouraging members to run for school boards across the country. I think that your timing was actually before that resolution, correct?
That's right, it was.
Wow, pioneer.
Thank you.
There you go.
Very cool.
All right. One thing I should let you know, Natalia, is that because this is a not-for-profit public radio station, that under the FCC rules, we have to give your opposition, that is qualified candidates that are opposing you, the opportunity to present themselves on our show.
Okay.
So
Well,
I'm putting that out.
right
I'm putting that out there.
now there are. Yeah, as of today, there is nobody opposing me.
Okay, we're
Right,
all
yeah.
fine with
Makes our
that.
job easy.
So that can change. School board races are really, really fast. So the election's on May 20th, and people have to have declared and handed in their petitions by April 30th. So it is very, very quick. But as of today, nobody, aside from me and the two people that I'm supporting, have picked up packets in order to run.
And what have you found in your campaigning? I know that we're going to be signing some postcards for you. Yeah, what do you think is the best way to connect with people in your district?
Yeah, I mean, what I think is the best way to connect is also what the research supports, which is talking to people directly face to face. And so I think that a lot of campaigns want to put up signs and they want to, maybe post a lot on social media. But really, what is, I think, the most important for any candidate is to talk to people face to face and not just talk, but to listen. And so I am spending my weekends knocking on doors. My family's knocking on doors for me as well. And listening to our community. And what I am hearing the most is that people are scared. People don't want books to be banned. People don't want teachers attacked. People don't want more guns in our schools. People want schools to be safe places of learning for kids.
I mean, I think it's also special that this is your third term that you're running for. So people know you already and they know what you're standing for. I'm sure you're going to these doors and they recognize you. You've had these conversations before, which is really cool.
Yeah, it is really interesting to go and have people be like, "Oh yeah, I voted for you last time. Of course I'm voting for you." Or to say like, "Oh yeah, well you know my friend so and so and I'll vote for whoever they say and they already told me to vote for you." Or I went to a house the other day and this woman was like, "Oh, usually your husband comes to tell me who to vote for, but like of course I'm voting for you." And I was like, "Okay."
Oh gosh. Well, you know that he's spreading the good word.
Yes, he is. Yes. He's knocked on a lot of doors. And so, I guess what matters to me the most in a candidate is, again, that they are running for each and every one of the students who attends that district. You cannot run for only your own kids, and you cannot run only for a subset of kids and have my support. You have to be there for everyone. And then the other thing is just not working to undermine education, supporting teachers. Teachers are experts in their fields. Like I'm honored that you called me a teacher before, but I'm a speech therapist. And I have a lot to learn about teaching in the classroom. I work with kids in small groups doing therapy for their communication skills. And I love being in a school, but it's nothing like running a classroom and teaching the curriculum and doing classroom management with sometimes 30 kids. That is so much work, and teachers really deserve to have school boards who say, "I know how much work that is, and I'm here to support you and to figure out what I can do to allow you to do your job the way that you were trained to do it."
They remind me of that film Kindergarten Cop with Arnold Schwarzenegger, where he's this tough as nails cop who's always getting the bad guys, but he has to go undercover as a kindergarten teacher, and after his first day he falls down dead. He just falls asleep on his couch.
Yeah, kindergartners are no joke. They have so much energy and they are so creative and they're so smart and also there's so much.
Yes, there's so much.
I
All
have a 2-year-old puppy and I can't even fathom having a 5-year-old child.
Let alone, again, like 15
Yeah.
five-year-old children, all of whom are so curious and have so many questions and need to learn the rules of the school and need to learn the routines. And I just have so much respect for kindergarten teachers because I truly do not believe in myself that I could do it.
But you need a good school board in order for those people to be able to do it. So,
Yep, you need a school board that clearly has teachers' backs so that they can do their work.
you could clearly handle it, I am sure. I have that faith in you, Natalia.
out of the three of us, you, I
That's
think, it, yeah, you,
right.
me, then Bill.
Yeah, I feel like I could maybe handle like a fourth grade class. They have a little less energy.
That's true. I feel like it kind of like gets easier up until 6th grade. Then
Yes.
those hormones kick in and then you're right back to square one.
Absolutely. Yes.
Or maybe 7th. I feel like 6th graders are still really sweet.
Sixth graders, I think, are going through a major transition. It's such a transformative year. I feel like they started off as little kids in August and September, and then by May, they really are something else. Like they're not teenagers yet, but
Yeah.
they're like on that path.
I have a 12-year-old nephew, and he's very much in that phase of life, and it is fascinating.
They know so much.
Yeah.
They can argue so much.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah. Thank you,
Yeah.
Natalia. I'm not going to take any more of your time for this interview, though it has been a great pleasure.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
It's terrific. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
And good luck in your election.
Thank you.
Was School Days with my favorite Joan Jett when she was with the Runaways.
All right.
Let's talk a little bit about things in the DSA universe. Why don't we, Casey?
Let's do it. Take it away.
All right. Well, one thing that we know is that the nurses are still in a contract struggle with Albany Med. That's all going on. We're doing a lot of leafletting and
yes.
A lot of supporting of them.
Yes. One of our comrades just gave an incredible speech on May Day, on May 1st. At Albany Med outside, there was a ton of people just trying to drum up support for the nurses union. Yeah, it was really cool. I was not there, sadly, because I was working, but it seemed to be a really beautiful event. A lot of people came out.
And as of yet, I don't think, as this is being recorded, I don't believe that the New York Health Act or the budget has been, the budget has been passed, and so the New York Health Act is still in the budget, right?
Correct. I actually had a meeting with Sarah Hanna Shressa of Assembly District 103 yesterday, and she said that they are in budget hell. So I don't think that it will be passed anytime soon.
Every budget is budget hell.
True.
Okay.
But yeah, she said it's a rough one this year.
We're making a push for good cause eviction in Schenectady.
We are.
And also, we have been following the Friends of Round Top, who are trying to at least get
the
planning board to at least do a study on how this new development in Cairo is going to affect the water.
Yes,
and they
but
don't want.
they voted on, I think the meeting was on Thursday, is what, Wednesday or Thursday of last week. And the planning board voted to silence all public, like silence the public from giving any comment. It passed unanimously at that meeting, which is insane.
I think it might also contravene the open meetings law. I'm not so sure. I'll have to look it up, but that's just a nasty thing to do.
Yeah, definitely. One other thing, on Wednesday, the 30th of last week, there was a Public Service Commission hearing in Catskill, in Kingston and Poughkeepsie, about the rate hikes that Central Hudson is proposing. I was there for that. There was probably about 20 people there, and every single public comment was just like, no, this is insane. One thing that they're trying to put into the budget right now, or into trying to raise the rates, is that they 15% of what they're trying to raise, going from 9.2 to 10%, is they want ratepayers to pay for the unrecouped rate, unrecouped bills, which will just create like a net negative, because if ratepayers can't pay the bills, it will just lead to more rate increases. It's absolutely insane.
It's just greed.
It's just greed. Yeah, there's going to be another town hall by Sarah Hanna on the 15th, but at the Catskill Village Board meeting on the 14th, myself and a couple others are going to present a resolution to support the Hudson Valley Power Authority Act.
Very good.
They won't be voting at that meeting. They will be voting on the 28th. Okay. But if that is something that interests you, we will be there on the 14th at 6:30 p.m.
I think I'm going to be attending. This is going to be in the Catskill Town Board.
Catskill, I think it's at the Senior Center.
The Senior Center, that's where they meet.
Yes, yeah.
And that's at 6:30 on the 14th of May.
Correct.
All right. Very good. Well, one thing that, you know, I read The New Yorker a lot, as well as reading Jacobin Magazine.
Of course.
And Mad Magazine. But
Mad Magazine still?
Yes.
That's awesome.
Had it my whole life.
I didn't know that they were still. Is it print?
Yeah, I'm a boomer.
No, that's awesome. I actually was recently trying to find where I could get paper delivery again, but it's so expensive.
Yeah, that's crazy. So I saw a cartoon in one recent New Yorker, the March 24th, Democratic Resistance Strategies. It's by the cartoonist Emily Flake, and she has all of these panels about the ways that Democrats should, you know, sarcastically be resisting.
Resist
Trump.
The fascism?
Yes. Increasingly forceful language on protest paddles, dropping sick burns in the private Slack, leaving secret notes on congressional bathrooms, whispering messages into a hole in the ground and letting the reeds do their thing, or developing a clear, dynamic agenda, building coalitions to advance that agenda, identifying talented politicians who can, ha, 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 sorry, I can't keep this up. So
I mean, can you imagine?
Yes, exactly. So one thing I keep wondering about, Casey, is if the leadership of the Democratic Party, maybe not as a whole, but even portions of them, have actually learned anything from their defeat last November. Have you heard any rumblings of that?
They've definitely not learned anything from what I've read. I mean, I'm seeing a lot of think pieces about it, but I haven't seen anything that's coming from the official Democratic Party.
Mm-hmm.
I'm seeing a lot of articles being like, Democrats better be worried in 4 years, blah, 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 which is true. But yeah, I don't think.
You know who I think has the ear to the ground?
Who?
Rosie.
Rosie, my girl.
Well, I'm going to reach out to her right now and see if she can answer this question for us. Let me get in touch with her.
This is Rosie, comrade. How may I serve?
Hello, Rosie. It's Post Noir.
Oh, it's you. What do you want?
Rosie, I'm here with Casey. Casey, why don't you ask Rosie?
Hi, Rosie.
How wonderful to hear from you. Please ask me anything.
Well, Rosie, we're wondering if you've heard anything about the leadership of the Democratic Party seeking a new political direction?
Why, as a matter of fact, I have, Casey. We artificial intellect, being without corporeal form, have the advantage of being able to enter unseen into many places. Just listen to this secret recording from the inner sanctum of the Democratic National Committee.
What do the simple folk do to help them escape when they're blue? The shepherd who is ailing, the milkmaid who is glum, the cobbler who is wailing from nailing his thumb. When they're beset and besieged, the folk not noblessly obliged, however do they manage to shed their weary lot? Oh, what do simple folk do? We do not.
I have been informed by those who know them well, they find relief in quite a clever way. When they're sorely pressed, they whistle for a spell, and whistling seems to brighten up their day. And that's what simple folk do, so they say.
They whistle?
So they say.
What else do the simple folk do to perk up the heart and get through? The wee folk and the grown folk who wander to and fro have ways known to their own folk we throat folk don't know. When all the doldrums begin, what keeps each of them in his skin? What ancient native custom provides the needed glow? Oh, do simple folk do you know?
Once upon the road, I came upon a lad singing in a voice three times his size. When I asked him why, he told me he was sad, and singing always made his spirits rise. And that's what simple folk do, I surmise.
They sing.
I surmise.
Arise, my love, arise, my love. Apollo's light in the skies, my love. The meadows shine with columbine and daffodils blossom away. Hear Venus call to one and all. Come taste delight while you may. The world is bright and all is right and life is merry and gay. What else do the simple folk do? They must have a system or two. They obviously outshine us at turning tears to mirth. Have tricks a royal highness is Midas from birth. What then, I wonder, do they to chase all the goblins away? They have some tribal sorcery you haven't mentioned yet. Oh, what do simple folk do to forget?
Often I am told they dance a fiery dance and whirl till they're completely uncontrolled. Soon the mind is black and all are in a trance, a violent trance astounding to behold. And that's what simple folk do, so I'm told.
Escape when they're blue.
They sit around and wonder what royal folk would do, and that's what simple folk do.
Oh, no, really?
I have it on the best authority.
Yes, that's what simple folk do.
Thanks, Rosie. Was that a joke?
Indeed it was. Even we artificial intellects enjoy the occasional jest. Take care, Casey, and please make sure that Poche Noir doesn't give in too deeply to his penchant for transgression. I find him a bit of a pest, but he is a comrade after all.
Wow. Rosie played What Do Simple Folk Do from the Broadway version of Camelot, the very first Broadway version with Julie Andrews and Richard Burton.
Big Broadway show today.
Oh my God. Can you imagine how magical to have seen that back in the day?
No, Julie Andrews is the Queen of England as far as I'm concerned, yes. And she always will be.
That's right. Oh, I love Julie. And I love her because she's Mary Poppins as well.
Of course. Sister Suffragette.
That's right. Oh.
Amazing.
So, I think that's going to be our show for today. Let's get to our outro, maybe.
Let's do it.
All right. So thank you, comrades. That's all the time we have for this episode. Tune in at 7 p.m. on the next first Tuesday of 2025. That would be June 3rd.
Okay. Good to know. If you are interested in joining DSA, you may join at dsausa.org, where you'll find many levels of membership to comport with your finances. You can also find out more, at capitaldistrictdsa.org.
There are two types of organizations for social change, one that rely on members' dues and the others that rely upon donations. DSA is the dues-reliant type. It doesn't spend its time hustling for donations and sucking up to any donors, but rather strictly depends upon winning people to its ranks with ideas.
But we'll take your donations, too.
That's true.
All right, we're going to end her with good old Dolly.
Very good.
Tumble out of bed and I stumble to the kitchen. Pour myself a cup of ambition and yawn and stretch and try to come to life. Jump in the shower and the blood starts pumping. Out on the streets the traffic starts jumping with folks like me on the job from 9 to 5. Working 9 to 5. What a way to make a living. Barely getting by. It's all taking and no giving. They just use your mind and they never give you credit. It's enough to drive you crazy if you let it. 9 to 5. For service and devotion. You would think that I would deserve a fair promotion. Just a step on the boss man's ladder, but you got dreams he'll never take away. In the same boat with a lot of your friends, waiting for the day your ship will come in and the tide's gonna turn and it's all gonna roll your way. Working 9 to 5, what a way to make a living. Barely getting by, it's all taking and no giving. They just use your mind and you never get the credit.
Better life, and you think about it, don't you? DJ Rush, Wax Master, Hyperactive, Jammin' Gerald, Brian Wilson, George Clinton, Lil Lewis, Ashley Beadle.